invite you to follow along as we hear now the word of the Lord. These words the Lord said to all your assembly at the mountain out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness, with a loud voice. And he added no more. He wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. And as soon as you heard the voice of the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and greatness. We have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. This day we have seen God speak with man, and man still live. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of fire as we have, and has still lived? Go near and hear all the Lord our God will say, and speak to us all that the Lord our God will speak to you. We will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard your words when you spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, I have heard the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They are right in all they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to fear me, to keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever. Go and say to them, return to your tents, but you stand here by me, and I will tell you the whole commandment and the statutes and the rules that you shall teach them, that they may do them in the land I am giving them to possess. You shall be careful, therefore, to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or the left. You shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land that you shall possess. I'm going to ask the young children if they'll come up and help with the children's sermon. Good morning. Actually, I want you to stand up. Now, there's a whole bag of candy on the line today. Oh, you have to earn it first. We're going to play Simon Says. Do you remember Simon Says?
Oh, yeah.
Last time you played, you didn't do very well.
No.
Because what does Simon Says require? You have to listen very carefully. If Simon doesn't say it, do you do it?
No.
No.
If Simon doesn't say Simon, then...
You can't do it.
Okay. So you know the rules now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, ready? Sit down. Did Simon tell you to sit down?
No.
Stand up. Good job. Okay, Simon says stand up. Simon says raise your hand. Wave to everyone. Oh. Simon says wave to everyone. Simon says stand on one foot. Okay, now lift up the other foot.
You can't even do that.
You can't even do that, can you? You could jump. Is Simon says easy? Do you know what? I've been playing this game with children at this church for 23 years. And there is no one here who listens well and obeys all the time.
Except for me.
No, I caught you on the first one. Wouldn't it be great if we had someone who could listen and obey for us? Is there someone that would do that for you?
Yes.
Who?
God.
Jesus. Did Jesus listen for you? Did he perfectly obey all the time?
Yes.
And does he bless you?
Yes.
Yes, he does. So because Jesus did that, should I give you candy?
Yes.
Come and get it. So that's what our passage is about today, how Jesus obeys for us and is our blessing.
And the
Okay. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, even now, send your Spirit that we might listen. Fill us with that Spirit that we might understand and have hearts that delight to obey. Open this word and apply it to us. Help us to behold your glory in Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Have you ever had to stand in for somebody else and be responsible for what was happening as you stood in for them? I had the privilege of doing that and the terror. My daughter and son-in-law are moving here so he can start his new job at the hospital, and they needed to buy a house. Now, they live 600 miles away, and he didn't have any vacation time left. So they sent me instead. And they picked out two houses online. They saw pictures and said, oh, yeah, those two are good. First one I went to, not so good. Pictures lie. The neighborhood wasn't great. The people had clearly done a lot of remodeling themselves and not done it real well. But the second house, it was well lived in, but it was beautiful, and it was on 3 acres and had great bones and would be a great place. A 4-minute commute for my son-in-law when he has to go in the middle of the night. Perfect. Now, did they believe me? No, he came down and looked at it himself. That was the easy part. The hard part was their bank required them to sign the 4 million documents. But again, he had no time off. They have a little baby. And so they made me their attorney in fact. And for 75 minutes, I got to sign Robert Reinstra, attorney in fact, for Christopher David Vetter. Robert Reinstra, attorney in fact, for Annika Elizabeth Vetter. 75 minutes. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't write anything anymore. Carpal tunnel still hasn't fully healed. That was the easy part. The hard part was the night before all this, I realized I am signing legal documents as their attorney in fact, and I don't have a clue about how much money they're borrowing, what interest rate, or any of the other details. Now, they had read these documents, but I would not know if somebody had slipped a whole new set in there. And it was for an amount of money that I wasn't real comfortable putting my name on. Standing in for others, if done right, is a terrifying process. How much more so as Jesus has done that for you? And that's really the heart of this passage before us today. Moses is done recounting the Ten Commandments, and he now reminds that people that are assembled before him, reminds some of them and teaches the rest about what happened as soon as they were done receiving those Ten Commandments. It begins here, the Lord, these words. It's a common way of referring to the Ten Commandments in Hebrew, and it's put first in the sentence to emphasize them and their importance. It's further emphasized with a reminder that they came directly from Yahweh himself. He spoke to the whole assembly. And though all those who were over 20 years old when that happened almost 40 years before had died, except for Moses, Joshua, and Caleb, some gathered there on this day when Moses is speaking to them were children. And they remember that day. And if not, Moses reminds them and teaches those who were born in the meantime. God spoke out of the midst of fire. He doesn't give us the details of what that meant, but the mountain was on fire and not consumed. Whether it was lightning, because the mountain was also covered in a thick, dark cloud. almost could get the image that lightning or lava or something incredibly bright is breaking forth in that darkness. God spoke with a loud voice. You know, you've experienced that recently, haven't you? Somebody passed me in a Jeep this week and another person on a motorcycle playing their music so loud it hurt my ears with my windows closed. This was much louder. God spoke. I would put to you on that day, no one casually asked, "Is there a God?" They experienced him with all of their senses. They heard him. They saw the signs of him. They felt the darkness and the power. They tasted and they smelled the fear of that. No one was asking, "Is there a God?" Instead, they wanted nothing to do with that God. Before we get to that, to keep the words that God gives them, first he writes them on two tablets of stone, front and back. And as with most ancient treaties, there are two copies, one for the sovereign, the king, and one for the people. But unlike most, these both go in the Ark of the Covenant because God himself is not far off, but he is with his people. In fact, even as Moses is reminding them of these things, the pillar of cloud and fire are still with them. And God would always be with them, though not in as visible a form as that. And Moses simply finishes up. He added no more. Those 10 words were sufficient, complete. He doesn't need to add any more to them. And also, he will not speak directly to them ever again. Because that's what the people then request. Verses 23 through 27. As soon as God is done, without calling a conference, without having a meeting, they are all, maybe the only time in Israel's history, they're all in complete agreement. Moses, we don't think we should ever do that again. We have a better idea. You go talk to God. We'll stay back here where it's safe and it's comfortable. Because if we go near, he will kill us. In verses 24 through 26, they acknowledge the experience. God has shown us his glory and greatness. We have heard his voice in the midst of the fire. We have seen God speak with man, and we are yet alive. Let's not do it again. They're terrified. They had beheld the greatness and glory of God, heard his voice, felt the fire, smelled the fear in one another, even as they tasted their own, and they had enough. The only problem is they hadn't. God condescended and came down to them in a form they could handle. The fullness of the holiness and power and majesty and glory of God was still veiled. As glorious and overwhelming as this experience was, God condescended and came down to their level. Their great idea is for Moses to go experience that again and again and again. Moses, you be our mediator. Now, in reality, they didn't even like that plan because whenever Moses met with God, he had to cover his own face because they couldn't handle the reflected glory that came from that. Now, 28 through 33, God hears their plan and approves. Just a quick aside here. Before we get to that plan, we need to see there's a subtle problem here. They have been in the presence of the glory of God and survived because God provided. But instead of asking the one who had provided, they come up with their own plan. A plan that provides in such a way so that they can be comfortable. Isn't that what we all do so often? Lord, here's what will bless me. Bless it. What was the first word of that prayer I just gave? Lord. If you're praying that way, you don't understand what that word Lord means. Lord, here's what will bless me. Do it. is not a biblical way to pray. But that's in essence what they're doing here. And it's what we all are tempted to do so often. We fail to wrestle fully with the implications of what it means to call him Lord. Lord means to be in submission, body, mind, emotions, will, to trust. In fact, in Proverbs 3, God tells us how to do this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. See, instead of planning on the basis of our limited, sin-tainted understanding, we need to trust. To trust the Lord. Ask him for his wisdom, his will, his leading, his provision. And then follow as he makes the way clear, no matter how uncomfortable it makes us. Think of Jesus in Gethsemane. Lord, is there any other way? But not my will. Yours be done. Proverbs also teaches us that the plans of the heart belong to man. The answer of the tongue is from the Lord. See, even though they don't go consult the Lord, even though they don't ask for his provision, the Lord works and brings about what his plan had been all along, and that's for them to have a mediator. Lord, we need a mediator is not from themselves, but the Lord's sovereign work and putting words in their mouth. Because they need a mediator. Their hearts will not long remain right. They will soon forget or ignore the fear of the Lord and do what is right in their own eyes, which is going to bring God's discipline and curses. They need a mediator so that they will not be consumed, though they deserve to be, because of their foolish straying from God's ways and their outright rebellion against him. They need a mediator who will listen and help them to know and to listen to God themselves. They need a mediator who can help them draw near and enjoy God. And for now, Moses is that person, chosen and blessed by God. As verse 31 intimates, he meets with God, as he says in other places, face to face, as a friend with a friend. God has much more for them, and he's going to give it to them through Moses, the mediator. But we need to be clear here. Moses, chosen by God, the most humble man on the face of the earth. But he failed, as Simon says also. In fact, we saw that back in chapter 3. He's not going to get to go into the promised land because he did not listen and obey carefully to all the Lord gave him to do when he was supposed to speak to the rock. He struck it. Moses also falls short. In fact, these very people will use Moses' failure or the failure of other future prophets, their weaknesses, as an excuse not to listen and not to obey. They again and again will think they know better. And they're going to choose for themselves prophets whose message is more accommodating. Still have that problem today, don't we? If you don't like what you're hearing here, turn the dial. Somebody else is going to tell you what your itching ears want to hear. We need a mediator. Because in all of this, that's what God is working on. Moses is a type, a foreshadowing of the true mediator, of God the Son, appointed by the Father, empowered by the Spirit, faithful and perfect in all he is and all his work. Again, Moses received the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. And he is the perfect prophet who makes God fully known. Talk about that in chapter 18. Moses received God's instructions and passed them on to Aaron and his family so that they might serve as priests representing the people before God. But all they had to offer were bulls and goats and sheep, something that did not truly represent the people, that could not atone for their sins. But Jesus was the perfect high priest, without spot or blemish. He offered himself as the true sacrifice, which satisfied the wrath that we deserve. And he gave to us his perfect obedience so that we can draw near to the Father with confidence and joy and hope. Moses was the anointed leader. He was a failed and frustrated leader. And he warns the people that one day they would ask for a king to be like the nations. But again, that just points us to the true king, to God's anointed one who has come and conquered sin and conquered death and conquered our rebellious hearts by the power of his Spirit, who even now is establishing his kingdom by the proclamation of good news, and who one day soon will come again to bring all things into submission, beginning with us, so that we can glorify and enjoy God and bless one another. That's the mediator we need, Jesus. The one who truly and fully and perfectly listened and obeyed even to the point of death. Jesus, the mediator who became like us so he could truly represent us, tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin, so that he could pay for all of your sin. Jesus, who's been raised up and now will sit in judgment. And his judgment on you, if you're his, is simply, they're covered. They're mine. Welcome, good and faithful servant. In him we can draw near and dwell in the presence of glory, without fear and in great joy. Jesus, the mediator who truly and fully reveals the glory of the Father, giving us the Spirit so that we have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to believe. The book of Hebrews, the author there, picks up all these things and expands on them, showing us the fullness of Jesus, our mediator, the one who fully and completely accomplishes all that promise. All that was prefigured in Moses or Aaron or the sacrifices. Jesus is the one. See, we've just finished the Ten Commandments, and the law has done its work. It has shown these people, and hopefully us, our need for a Savior, for a mediator who can represent us and lift us up, who can help us to walk by faith. So I have a question. When you look in the mirror that is God's Word, particularly the law, what do you see? You see yourself exposed, alone, guilty, full of shame, overwhelmed? The law can do that. It's part of its purpose. Or when you look into the mirror that is God's Word, you see Jesus. The one who loved you and gave himself for you, who paid for all your sins so that there's no condemnation left. The one who clothes you with his perfect obedience, his righteousness, so that you are God's dearly loved child. Welcome, blessed with every spiritual blessing. You see Jesus, and are you listening to him and learning from him how to run in the pathway of his commandments, by the Spirit's power to trust and obey, knowing that the law is not burdensome, but a pathway to blessing and joy. You see Jesus so that you can be his representative to this world, his salt, his light, his blessing. Is Jesus your mediator? And are you his child? Charles Wesley, in one of my favorite hymns, put it, "No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. alive in him my living head, clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my hope. The writer of Hebrews put it a little bit differently. People, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, help us to see. Help us to see ourselves in the light of your law, in the light of your holiness, your majesty, your glory. Help us to see how far short and how great is our need. But even more so, help us to see the one you have provided, Jesus, who loves and is with us even now, who has lifted us up from death and given us eternal life in himself. Oh Lord, help us to see ourselves in him and delight in you and in your law and follow in your pathways. Because he is our mediator. In him we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing "That Man is Blessed Who Fearing God," printed in your bulletin. Stand as we sing.